Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, the third day of April, 2023. A lot of headlines going, a lot of news, a lot of headlines. I want to thank the members of our meeting last night. Folks, if you want to support this program, go to HagmanPI.com. Click on the link to join us for memberships, to join our interactive once a month Sunday meetings. It helps this program stay on air. I'm telling you right now, we've got more people that are attempting to take us off air than seemingly supporting us, which that's not true. I mean, it just feels that way when you wake up in the morning and you're engaged in a battle. You go to bed at night, you're engaged in a battle. It seems like the battle's all the time. And we see that happening now, really all across the board. I think the when you look at the news, the headlines, only the headlines, you see 10 years worth of headlines in the course of a few days, a week maybe. It was interesting, somebody last night had said, you know, remember when the 24-hour news cable channels first came on the air, and there was really no it was like people were saying, well, how can it be sustained? Because there wasn't enough material to really keep the channels going, it seemed like. And there was a lot of repetitiveness. Now today, you need a 26-hour day to cover everything that's going on. And I think the reason for this is, I think as we go down this path of this biblical path, and I think a lot of times that's left out of the equation, I think we're on God's time now. Yeah, it's just as simple as that. And I don't think that's talked about enough. I think that what we're seeing right now with the drag queen woke industry, I don't know how many people saw last night. I did not see this. The satanic infiltration into the country music awards, this drag queen, these drag queens flouting red state laws. I mean, this is a religion to them. This transgenderism is a religion to them. Understand that what we're seeing is designed to take down our nation, demoralize our nation, to demoralize our nation, but also to demoralize our country. Okay, take away the morals and shove the perversity of this trans agenda down the throats of not just American citizens, but our children, American children as well, and especially going after American children. Some news, it's easy to focus on. And you notice that Friday I did not mention Tuesday's indictment of President Trump, or his, showing up on tomorrow in Manhattan. The reason being is because, look, everyone's covering that. And I agree that's a big deal. And now I believe that we have passed the Rubicon. All right. I don't know how many people are familiar with the river Rubicon. 49 BC, Julius Caesar taking a legion across the Rubicon, and that's hence where the statement came from. I just don't know. How many people are aware of where that statement came from. But every American right now, and I'm just going to just say this, every American should be paying attention to what the fully weaponized communist Biden regime is doing to silence all political opposition and stomp the critics, the truth tellers, the meme makers, and mockers of a system captured by the Chinese Communist Party. And that goes, that's a Maoist party, of course. But then you've got the Marxist party ideology as well built in there from the 60s. You can see all of this taking place right now, this Communist Chinese Party model of censorship and the punishment for the non-compliant. Anyone who is posting to social media sites, writing or otherwise exercising their constitutional rights to free speech is a target for criminal investigation by the Communist New World Order overlords, as I've said and written about, and their minions who are embedded in every government institution. Folks, we are all targets. And as I mentioned just moments ago, the U.S., I believe, has unquestionably crossed the Rubicon. And go back to when Roman Emperor Julius Caesar in 49 BC broke the law that limited his imperium by overtly and deliberately leading his legion across that geographical boundary. So too, by the way, that resulted in armed conflict and civil war. That made civil war inevitable. So if you think about it, crossing the Rubicon, indeed, we have. And this, whether it be President Trump with the Manhattan DA, the Soros-backed Manhattan DA, and I'm going to publish a list of all of the Soros-backed district attorneys. It's a comprehensive list. I'm going to be publishing that here later today. At HagmanPI.com, because I really think what we need to do, we need to do is get these pieces of filth out of positions of power. They should have never been there in the first place, and shame on us for not paying attention. With me to talk about this and more, including Senate Bill 686, the TikTok bill that fails to mention TikTok. If you go to HagmanPI, I cite that as well. That's not new, of course not, but it's rumbling behind the scenes. If that passes, this the website HagmanPI may no longer cease, or it might cease to exist. And I hear people applauding out there because of that. Well, you know what? Your day is coming too. Your day is coming. So when they come after you, there won't be anybody to help you. Your day is coming. If this bill passes and the 18 schmucks, the 18 Republican maggots that signed on to this, how dare they do this? If you open that up or scroll down there, I have the list. I'm sorry, not 18. It was 18. Now I'm so hacked off right now. It angers me. I put the bill up there, and for a bill about TikTok, the 55 pages, not one time is TikTok mentioned. Not one time. I even did the search for you and put it up there just for you. But this Restrict Act introduced by Mark Warner, this Democrat from Virginia, and Tom Thune. I don't know who this Thune character is, this Republican from South Dakota. Yeah, it's supposedly aimed at blocking or disrupting transactions and financial holdings linked to foreign adversaries that the powers that be claim to be a threat to national security. But in truth, though, the Restrict Act appears to have been intentionally designed to target the free speech rights of everyday Americans. And that's a quote from Ethan Huff, redwave.com. You know what? If it sounds like I'm angry, I am extremely angry, because we can sit here and huff and puff all day long. We could talk about this all day long. My question is, what in the hell are we going to do about this? We're going to start doing things about this. Let me tell you the Republicans who support the Restrict Act, because I think everybody should call these offices, hold them to account, and say, if this bill passes, you're out of here. And in fact, it should never pass. Thune, John, Republican, South Dakota. Fisher, Deb, Republican, North Nebraska. Jerry Moran, Republican, Kansas. Dan Sullivan, Republican, Arkansas. Susan Collins, of course, Republican, Maine. Mitt Romney, of course, surprise, Utah. Caputo, Shelley Moore Caputo from West Virginia, Kramer, Kramer, Senator Kevin Kramer from North Dakota, Grassley, of course, Tom Tillis, and, you know, Linda Graham, right? Linda. Well, listen, you pukes. You better read the Constitution. All right. Here to calm me down and to make some sense of things. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. If you haven't done so already, make sure you go to libertyman.com. Listen to his radio show. It's not as crusty as I am. He's not as crusty as I am. He's got more class than I do. All right. He jumps out of airplanes. He drives an, you know, an Aston Martin. He motorcycles, and he wears ascots and walks onto yachts. He flies his plane up to Nova Scotia to watch the total eclipse of the sun. I'm kidding. John Moore, how are you, sir? John, are you there? You got to turn your volume on or something. I don't know. So, hit the microphone button, brother. Honest.
How's that?
Yeah, that's better. There we go.
I had it on earlier, but there we go. To answer your question, if I felt any better, it wouldn't be legal, Doug.
No, that's one of us. All right, because I'm ready to start. I'm like that cartoon. I don't know which cartoon, but it's the guy with the two. It's the character with the two guns. You know, what the heck is the name of that cartoon? Anyway,
and a really long mustache.
Yep. Yosemite Sam.
There we go.
Yosemite Sam. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I talk like him too, I think. I don't know, but
Boss Hog.
Yeah. So, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. What's going on, brother? You talk to me and tell me what's on your radar and what's important to you.
Well, among the many things I do, I am a Republican committeeman. My township, Osage Township, in my county, Crawford County. We had our monthly mini meeting a week ago. It'll be 2 weeks ago tomorrow. The consensus among the Republican committee men and committee women was the following. If President Trump was smart, he would pay the district attorney to indict him. It will be the biggest boost to his campaign in terms of support and money that could be imaginable. So that's what's going to happen. There will be unprecedented amounts of money coming into the Trump campaign, unprecedented amounts of support nationwide, because of this indictment. Now, I'm not saying the indictment's a good thing in terms of our republic, but in terms of this particular campaign, it's marvelous. It's absolutely marvelous. Now, I saw a headline earlier today that this district attorney in New York received campaign contributions from somebody in India. Now, the Soros money I can understand, but why would somebody in the country of India provide political support campaign money for a man running for district attorney in the city of New York? I don't understand that at all, Doug. Most likely it was more Soros-type money that they were attempting to conceal in some fashion.
Well, it's been admitted that the federal funding, that Bragg used federal funding, federal dollars, to advance this persecution, prosecution of President Trump. Regardless of what you think of President Trump, I really don't care. A Pandora's box has been opened here. And there is no, as I said earlier, there is no coming back from this.
Well, that horse is out of the barn, Doug, and I agree with you. Now, here's the other side of that. The other side of that sword is President Trump, if he chose to, having the Department of Justice do similar charges against Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and so forth.
I heard that song before, John. I did. Lock her up. I heard it before. You know what? The Republicans are a bunch of cuckolds. If you don't know what that is, consult Shakespeare. But I'm serious. You think that. Do I see Hillary Clinton sweating and shaking, or Bill Clinton, or Obama, or Valerie Jarrett, or Samantha Power, or any of the? No, I don't. I don't, you know what? I see a bunch of Republican cuckolds and I'm pissed off about it because, go ahead.
Well, previously, Doug, that was the case. The chance of lock her up were endemic Trump rally. But now it's a whole different story. An indictment against a former president has now become reality. Prior to this, was just a theory. Now it's become real. And as a consequence, I think it's on the table, Doc. It may or may not happen, but it certainly could.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it. And I also have to say this. I believe cases like Donald Trump, okay, that's fine. Where a former president gets, you know, indicted. Okay, that's crossing the Rubicon. But then what we don't talk about are cases like Douglas Mackey, a guy who makes memes in 2016, okay, saying, hey, vote for Hillary, text your vote to, I don't know, some stupid thing. It's all BS, right? And that happened in 2016. Well, guess what? 5 years later, 2021, the Department of Justice, weaponized by O'Biden, by Barack Hussein Obama, Valerie Jarrett, who's behind, who's got her ass or her hand so far up the ass of Barack Obama. Okay. You talk about marionettes and George Soros. They come down 5 years after 2016, they come down on Douglas Mackey for election interference by making these stupid jokes, these memes, these satirical images. And he was just found guilty last week and faces 10 years in jail. For the love of everything that is holy, what in the hell is going on? And why aren't people rioting in the streets? You know what? Waters talked about it. All these leftists talk about rioting. Let's go. Go ahead.
Okay. I think meme and cartoon are synonyms, in my opinion, don't you think, Doug?
Yes, to normal, rational, sensible people. Now, yeah, yeah.
Political cartoons have about a 200-year history of being used in newspapers and magazines, and now we've got the modern version called memes on the Internet. It's unfortunate what's been done to this man. It's obviously a political matter. His legal defense has to be, if it's not high five figures, it's probably into at least six figures to defend him. If he has competent counsel, this thing he will prevail at the appellate level. It never should have been filed in the first place. It could not be more clear that this criminal prosecution is politically motivated, and similar memes going the opposite direction against Republicans have no prosecution whatsoever, do they?
No, Kim Wong, the same thing about Trump posting, and that tweet is still up, by the way, this leftist turd out there on Twitter, okay? Exactly. But you know what people aren't getting is the Congress passed the omnibus bill, which included funding for additional FBI agents and also money to crowdsource the investigation against J6 people. And they're expecting another 1,000 to 1,500 arrests revolving around January 6th. That's the Department of Justice. That's not Congress. That's the Department of Justice. Okay, who in the hell is paying attention to this? And why aren't we getting these people out of prison that are up there in prison that are rotting away? Why is Marjorie Taylor Greene just talking about it and Boebert just talking about it? Why aren't we getting something absolutely a plan together and saying, look, you are going to release these people. This is unconstitutional. And this is not Soviet Russia. This is not Cuba. This is not some third world shithole country that you want it to be. And we're coming after these people. Why aren't we doing that?
Well, I can't answer why, but I can answer why the judges did what they did. They were granted authority to do this under the NDAA, which for the purposes at hand here, suspended the normal judicial process that you and I have been part of for decades. I've worked on hundreds of criminal cases, and I know you have also, Doug, and it's not the way it's done under normal circumstances.
They would hang you and me up by our short hairs, okay? They would absolutely, I mean, if we would, go ahead. No, it's not how it's
going. What's going on with these January 6th defendant is flies in the face of the American judicial process. Let's take murder, for example. If you're arrested and charged with murder, typically you'll be brought before a judge, almost always within 3 days at the most, maybe a week in a really unusual case. The charges will be read in front of the judge. The judge will decide whether there's a likelihood that this person charged was part of the crime. And if the judge makes that decision, then there will be a bond set either on the spot or a separate bond hearing, typically pretty quickly. That's the way it is. In the case of the January 6th people, they never been brought before a judge with charges read before them, and there was never a bond set. We routinely have bonds set for men and women charged with first-degree murder in this country. That's routine. It happens all the time. All other crimes, similar circumstances, whether it's armed robbery, burglary, car theft, rape, whatever it might be, there's always a bond set. That's our system. In this case, it's never happened to these individuals. They can't make bond because bond was never set. Typically, the charges they're charged with are misdemeanor crimes, which would typically have a rather small bond, assuming the person was not judged to be a threat to themselves or the community, which I'm sure for almost all of them that would be the case. What I'm looking for, Doug, as this moves forward, is the identity of the FBI informant, or provocateurs, I should say, that were present on the ground at the U.S. Capitol, inside the Capitol building, damaging property, breaking property, using electronic means, megaphone, to make the crowd become more violent and take more violent action, which typically the crowd did not do that. I've seen some evidence, Doug, that the men who actually broke windows gained into the Capitol were not anything other than FBI agent provocateurs. Have you seen that also, Doug?
Yes, I have, but I'm not holding my breath about identities. When you've got people like Ray Epps that, John, what gets me is people have abandoned all of their senses. Okay. They've apparently they stopped being able to think for themselves. You've got people like Ray Epps on the wanted list, and of course taken off the wanted list, no explanation. You've got facial recognition video that we can't, we're not allowed to see. Not all of the video has been released from January 6th, because that would identify some of the bad actors within the intelligence agencies. So I am so, as you can tell, I'm very, again, my wife says, man, you're an angry man. You're damn right I'm angry, and everyone else should be angry to the point of action. I don't know what form that action will take or should take. I'm not advocating violence. I'm just saying that we need to stop talking about this and start doing something about this, whatever that is. But you're right, though, about the FBI. I it would be nice if we would have somebody say, look, here's a contingent of FBI operatives, or here's a contingent of FBI assets, that were responsible for...
Well, Doug, getting back to spatial identification, it's foolish to believe anything other than all driver's license, all state ID, all passports are now integrated into a master computer where it doesn't, I don't know how much of the face it needs, this facial identification has become quite sophisticated. They also probably have the IDs of all everybody's smartphone that was on the premises. Now, I don't know if these FBI and provocateurs had smartphones or not, but if they did, there'd be a record of that as well. So most likely the evidence already exists of FBI provocateurs being on the premises, breaking doors, breaking glass windows, encouraging people to commit violence. And as time goes on, I believe more of this evidence will be revealed, Doug. I really do.
Well, I do hope so. I look back historically. We've had the Hunter Biden laptop for how many years? Seriously.
About 6 months before the election.
Right. Okay. What's been done with Hunter and the Biden Inc. crime family? Okay. Nothing. You have a president based solely on the information in that laptop. You've got a resident of the White House that is compromised and owing his fortunes on the backs of American people to the communist Chinese, laundering money through Ukraine. And you want to talk about Russian collusion? I suppose you could cite some Russian collusion by way of that laptop. Then you've got the perversity of his son. And then you've got all of the 9 boxes plus of confidential classified documents that were found in his garage that Hunter had access to, and who knows who else had access to. And nothing is being done about this. Yet they raid Mar-a-Lago, and we're okay with it. It's not a problem. They're saying, come on, you know, we're taking President Trump. You're going to arraign him tomorrow. I want to see how that goes. I really do.
Well, the CIA is the lead agency as to what does and what does not happen with President Trump. They're not going to allow anyone other than the Secret Service agent to get within arm's reach of the president. That's not going to happen. The president will not be handcuffed by any New York City officials. That's not going to happen.
I think mugshot, fingerprints, but no handcuffs. That's my view.
Precisely.
Yeah.
One of my fellow Republican committeemen said the following: that mugshot will be on T-shirts all over the country once it's taken. It'll be one of the biggest fundraising photographs ever created.
I got a better idea. How about this? This is a mug. Put a mugshot on a mug. Yeah, just saying. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sure that will be available as well, Doug. I guess it's the modern age.
It's
easy, Doug, to point out the things that President Trump did not accomplish, but I like to point out the things he did accomplish. For example, more than 100 conservative federal judges, relatively young men and women who easily could be there decades, 25, 30 years into the future. It's hard to calculate the value of that, but that's, in fact, one of the things he did. President Trump was feared, and I hear people say, well, he's part of the deep state. Well, President Trump's appointment of General Michael Flynn to be Director of National Intelligence was put the fear of God into the deep state, because they knew he was an honest, a trustworthy man, a patriotic man, and they made sure they got rid of General Flynn within days of President Trump being inaugurated. That's how fearful they were of General Flynn. I was hoping that once Flynn was exonerated, that he would be brought back into the president's cabinet.
Yeah, and I don't know why that he wasn't, but you know, said Comey laughed about it. The FBI, they laughed about that, about setting him up and about really taking him down without any predicate crime whatsoever.
General Flynn thought our enemies were in Russia and China.
Yeah.
It did not occur to him that he had enemies within our own government. That was not on his radar, even a Chinese blimp. He trusted men he should not have trusted, obviously.
Yes. Yes.
In hindsight.
Oh, yeah. I get that. This is not your father's FBI. All right. I don't spare the emails. I know the FBI did some really horrible things throughout the years. Okay, I get all that. But even back then, they had some line where they wouldn't cross. Now it's a free for all. By the way, as I look at and folks, tune in to I want to say this. For radio listeners, go to Rumble, go to Brighteon. Please subscribe and give us a thumbs up. But as I look at your background there, it makes me nervous a little bit because I see a guy that's almost clubbed you over the head.
That's a painting of the Battle of the Alamo. That's Davy Crockett using his old Betsy as a club as the last defense.
I don't want him to hit you. It looks like he's going to hit you over your right shoulder or left side. But anyway, okay. Tell me, John, just to change gears for a moment here, tell me about your you've got some television podcasting or television shows.
It's coming up. There's dozens of bits and pieces, as you know, Doug, to do video. I have a couple of excellent technicians I'm working with. We've got some very specialized equipment, and we're getting the specialized software. No, I'm not giving a date of when we'll be ready to go, but soon, hopefully this month, without giving any specific dates.
No dates, but folks, take note. You're going to be able to look at and enjoy John Moore either in his pajamas or in his full garb there on video.
I have private information that men and women at the Pentagon listen to my show.
Yep.
I have private information that men and women in various intelligence agencies around the world listen to my show. Possibly not all the time, but enough.
You can count, believe me, so do we. And not for the reasons people think, but go ahead.
Yes. Well, I'd much rather do what I'm doing now than be a homicide detective. I've had enough murders to last the rest of my life. I feel like I'm helping a lot more people doing this than helping people that are charged with murder. So it's a lot of fun. It's become my full-time career.
To me, homicide investigations made more sense. I'm just saying.
The parameters are well known, at least people in the business like you and I, as to what you do and what you don't do in homicide investigation. The parameters on live talk radio and live television are a bit different. It's challenging for a number of reasons. But it is challenging, and I like the challenge, Doug.
Now, and I just want to, urge people to go to thelibertyman.com. He's got an immensely popular radio show Monday through Friday. Folks, you've got to tune in because it's a necessary show prep. He's got great guests all throughout the week, and that's thelibertyman.com. And, of course, that page has a lot of information.
9 gigabytes plus.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, it's huge.
Okay.
And we add to it pretty much every day of the week.
So, okay, before we get, because I want to touch on your symposium, but before I do, I want to just mention this. Folks, if you haven't done so already, please do this. Please pay attention to me. Okay, come close. Pay attention. On April 14th and 15th of this month, April 14th and 15th, how redundant can I be? In Wisconsin Christian News, they are having the great pushback against the Great Reset. I'm going to tell you, I've been to these conferences. This is going to be a quality conference where you can interact with people like Dave Dobmeier, Coach Dave Dobmeier, Alex Newman, Mike Spaulding, and John Dislin, of course, the author of Nehemiah Strong. I'm telling you, this is you need to be there if you're within a day's drive. Just go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. The tickets are going quickly. Do it today, WisconsinChristianNews.com, and that is a great pushback against Great Reset, April 14 and 15, 2023. And also, while you're there, donate. Keep them publishing the paper because they are, in fact, one of the critical newspapers of the country that back Christians. Now, your symposium, you want to plug that because I think that's
well, it'll be a full week Wildwood Springs Lodge in Steelville, Missouri, which is celebrating 101 years in the business. The chef prepares world-class meals. We'll have breakfast together, dinner together. My guests will be my live studio audience. While we're there, we're going to probably go down to Sam Andrews Freedom Center USA in Lebanon for one afternoon to visit the world-class rifle and pistol training facility. And all my guests will get at least a minimum 1 hour with me, one-on-one, private consultation. It'll be a great week that I'm looking forward to.
Come for the food, stay for spooning with John Moore. Okay. Or no, I'm kidding. Come for the food and stay for the information, because it's always a quality. You know, you've done these before. I'm not sure. Has it been a full week that you've done before? I know you've done.
Yes. Well, yes, really only one other time. That would be the Caribbean cruise.
Right.
It was just before COVID was kicking in.
Right.
In January 2019, I guess it was. 2020, yeah, January 2020, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, that's something that folks, you know what, I'd love to be able to attend, and perhaps I will try, I'll see, because I've got a lot of, believe me, scheduling problems for reasons that I don't want to get into, but that's very, very, that might be the sweet time right there, January, July 30th through
first
August.
Yeah,
I'd love to attend just to kind of hang with you and to see the people there and to, of course, have some good food as well. But all right. I didn't mean to take you off topic, off course, but so, you know, what we're experiencing right now, I don't know how else to describe it, but I think everybody should be flying their American flags upside down.
Well, unfortunately, not many people understand what that means. And for ships at sea, the upside down flag is a distress signal. It's not widely known, but it's in the Patriot community, it's pretty well known. I'm probably going to be flying a Trump flag out here soon. And doing what I can to support President Trump with time and money both. I was hesitant to do that not too long ago, but some things I've learned have caused me to change my mind and once again fully support President Trump with my time and my money. And I encourage everybody to look into this and consider doing so themselves.
How do you square things like President Trump's responsibility behind Operation Warp Speed and his failure to...
Well, that was a massive hurdle for me to overcome. Cliff High, whose work I've been following for more than 20 years, gave the following explanation, which I believe holds water. That President Trump, through his sources, found out what the real plan was. The real plan was a 10-year lockdown of the West, including the United States, of course, which would have destroyed our economy, destroyed our country. President Trump decided to head him off at the pass with getting this vaccine out before it was ready in order to shut down the lockdown, knowing full well that thousands of people would die from the vaccine, which, as any general would know, when it comes to matters of war and warfare, you have to sometimes make tough decisions where no matter what you do, people are going to die. When the decision was made to invade the Normandy Beach in France, all the generals knew that thousands of men would die. They knew that in advance. Of course they knew that on one hand. On the other, they knew it had to be done to save the world from what was going on at that point in time. And those similar decisions have been made by generals for millennia. And I believe that's what President Trump did. He made a decision to sacrificed those who would get he probably didn't know how bad the vaccination would be, by the way. I doubt that he knew, because that was closely held even from the president. And what he did know was that the vaccine being introduced would shut down the lockdown. He may or may not, I hope he did not know how deadly the vaccines would be. I'm pretty sure he did know, however, that the vaccine introduction would shut down the lockdown, saving the economy, saving our country. So until I get word otherwise or information otherwise, that's my way I've resolved President Trump supporting this bad vaccine that has harmed so many people.
All right. Why didn't he just simply fire the people he needed to fire? That would be...
He's made statements to the fact that he wasn't sure he could fire Dr. Fauci.
Well,
I mean, he appears to have the authority to do so.
He had an entire television program dedicated to you're fired. Look, as the head of the executive branch, I would think that, okay, absent of that, perhaps just going out to the American people and saying, look, we have a problem here, and here's the problem, and laying it all out to the American people. You know, I wish I could answer that,
Doug. I can't recall which statement President Trump made or when, but what I recall is some words to the effect his concern over being able to fire Fauci for whatever reason.
Okay. All right. I'm just growing tired of having to vote for the lesser of two evils. When can we start voting for the greater of the two greats? You know, there's 323 odd million people in the United States. Can we find a couple that are statesmen? Now, I'm saying that, you know, that are not showmen. This is not against President Trump. Okay, not at all. Okay, I'm just saying. What about the, are there no other people that have the opportunity to serve in that capacity? You know,
people. In this cycle coming up, I don't see that person.
Okay.
Trump with a running mate of possibly Kerry Lake, possibly the mayor, governor of Florida, DeSantis, if they could figure out how to get along.
Well,
I don't see anybody else who could take that seat. Now, when it comes to the Democratic side, we're hearing more and more that Michael Obama will be running for president on the Democratic ticket.
I've been hearing Obama and Newsom
that's a doable ticket for the Democrats. Yeah, absolutely.
Because now this also gets to me. This gets into I've got questions, John. Like why? Why is the left pushing this trans agenda so very hard?
Well, I got funny you should ask that.
In the context of Michael Obama, by the way, but go on.
Well, okay. One of Mao Zedong, the leader of Communist China for a number of decades when I got started, one of his closest confidants, Lin, I think his last name is Biao, if I got it right. Mr. Lin studied greatly the effect that the communist brainwashing had on American POWs in the Korean War. He decided to implement the same thing on the Chinese general population, called the Cultural Revolution, with great success. Based on that, he moved forward and his successors moved forward to implement the same thing on the United States population, to degrade our culture, to hurt and harm our culture. And they've been doing it now for decades with quite a bit of success, to the point where now we have these very bizarre and dangerous things taking place in grade schools, high schools, universities all over the country, being promoted by Marxist communists who have been put in those places specifically to do these things. One of the things the communists did, Doug, beginning in the 1950s, was decide to take over all journalism schools, which for the most part they did, and to take over, listen carefully, the schools that teach the teachers, which they pretty much did also.
Mm.
Once you've done both those things, you can have your trainees, these teachers, and the journalists in every large city, medium city, and every village in the United States, once you've done those two things, which they did do, which is why they're having so much success now, because we've turned over the education of the majority of our children to Marxists.
Very, very, very well stated. And yes, that was part of the communist platform as read into the Congressional Record back in 1963, by Florida Representative Herlong. Yes. Yes.
So let's, these things are not happening. These cultural events are not spontaneous. They're not coming out of the population on their own. These are pre-planned events that have been carefully orchestrated to take place in the way they're taking place. And for those of us who are conservative Christian patriots need to be aware of the common agenda. We need to address these things properly. Instead of saying a transgender woman, we say a mentally ill transgender woman. Instead of saying a transgender man, we say a mentally ill transgender man, because a man who wants to become a woman is mentally ill. A woman who wants to become a man is mentally ill on the face of it. Now, on one hand, if an adult wants to do these activities, it's a free country and they can do so. However, bringing this bizarre, dangerous activity to children is just that. It is bizarre and dangerous and should not be tolerated. We've had...
I agree. And this is where the merging of the intelligence community and the cultural events comes into play. In my view, you've got the FBI focused on parents who object to the drag queen shows. And you know, to me, there are no transgenders. They're just transvestites with mental illness, okay? You know, little Johnny or Johnny dressing up in a dress, or, Susie... well, you get the idea, but
Susie wearing a man's tuxedo. Well, Doug, I agree with you. Now, I kind of totally lost my train of thought.
There, yeah, sorry, I bumped you off there. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm really good.
Okay, well, modern psychiatric care traces back to Sigmund Freud, who was a cocaine addict who advocated the use of cocaine publicly. But that's the beginning point of modern psychiatric care, which up until very recently consisted of either talk therapy or psychotropic drugs. Now we're including the surgery as part of psychiatric care, surgically removing teenage girls' breasts, surgically removing the testicles and or the penis of little boys, using very powerful drugs. These aren't not psychotropic drugs, but drugs that block the normal development of a boy or a girl called puberty blockers. Very dangerous, unprecedented things taking place in the world of psychiatric care. We've never before removed body parts as part of psychiatric care, Doug. That's never happened before, but it's happening now. And I hold the healthcare professionals personally responsible for this. They took an oath called the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm. And when children cannot give consent to having body parts removed because of their mental illness, they can't because they're children. And the adult should be prohibited from doing so. And the healthcare professionals, I believe, should be charged with crime if they remove body parts of children as part of what's now called gender affirming care. It's absolutely criminal, bizarre, freakish behavior on the part of men and women who should know better, Doug.
Well, yeah. And when we bring this into the public discourse, it has no business. None of this has any, I don't believe any of this has any business being in the public venue, especially when it comes to legislation, when it comes to school districts, none of this. I mean, this is so far beyond anything that I would have thought of 10, 15 years ago. But then again, we saw what happened after the Obergefell Supreme Court decision that the Supreme Court blessed the same-sex marriages. And it's just one thing after another following that decision. They don't just want that. They want minor attracted persons or perverts, also known as MAPs, to be normalized, okay? And the outgrowth of that is this.
They also want to normalize bestiality.
Of course. Of course. Why not? Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Which
that's only if the animal consents.
You really can't make this up, folks. I'm talking to John Moore, thelibertyman.com. He's his radio show is heard Monday through Friday. Go to thelibertyman.com. Not only can you get the current episode, listen live and such, but you can also drill down into the archives. And I suggest you do that because there's a lot of information there, a lot of guests, a lot of news. He was ahead of his time with respect to all of the things that we're talking about right now. And he does so with a level head, unlike me, who just, you know, again, Yosemite Sam kind of tactics when it comes to this kind of stuff, because I'm just so sick and tired of these morons and these maggots. And I'm not talking about the reference to President Trump's people. I'm talking about the actual slugs that right. are in power. So John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Make sure you go there, support him, support his sponsors and also his products and all of his news. And I can't wait for the television show, and also sign up for his symposium this coming July 30th. All right, sir, go ahead. I took you off of...
Well, Doug, let's talk about some practical things.
Okay, go ahead.
One of the goals of the Communist Party, have been quite successful, is to take over as many elected offices as possible, beginning with the local county level. So we have county officials, there's more than 3,300 counties in the United States. They've been very diligent about getting their people elected to county office. We have city councils, once again, thousands of large, medium, and small cities. They've been very diligent about getting their people elected to city council and mayor. These men and women who become U.S. senators and U.S. Congress people, well, they begin typically as being elected a state representative or a state senator. That's the beginning point of these bigger offices. And they've been very good about getting their people elected at that level. Some notable exceptions like AOC, she was a bartender before she got elected to U.S. Congress?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the exception. Typically, a person begins in their mid to late 20s, getting elected to these lower offices and moving their way up, gathering support and getting a reputation to become a state rep or a state senator, and then later become a U.S. rep, U.S. representative, or U.S. senator. So all these lesser offices need to be filled up by conservative Christian patriots. That needs to happen right now. We have an election tomorrow here in my area. We have elections all over the country, two, three times a year. Many offices go unopposed because simply nobody wants to file, wants to take the time. Don't let that happen. A particular concern are county sheriffs. If you have an elected sheriff in your county, make sure that your sheriff is a conservative patriot who will support the Constitution. If you don't have that kind of sheriff, then find a man or a woman who will become that conservative patriot in that office. These sheriff's offices are absolutely critical. The sheriff, an elected sheriff, is opposed to appointment. An elected sheriff in most jurisdictions is the highest ranking law enforcement official in that county. And he can tell the FBI or the BATF or these other agencies to get out of his county if he chooses to do so. It's a lot of power there. It's a tremendous amount of power.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I suppose the frustration, even my frustration, originates in the fact that most of us look at the fight being on a federal level, taking the fight federal. And I think if we begin locally, like we've talked about in the past, we'll have more success, less frustration. And we could be, because Soros, he put some 29 district attorneys through his funding.
He appointed the one in St. Louis. It's been an absolute disaster. Yep. Soros money behind the district attorney in New York City.
So we have to fight that, and then try to recall all of those. The one you're talking about, just so people know, You said St. Louis, right?
Right, right. The one in St. Louis is in the process of being removed by Missouri Attorney General.
Right. You took that right. Yeah. That was, and I'm going through the, Kim Gardner. Kim Gardner.
Yeah, that's right. Kim Gardner.
And she certainly is one of the most famous and polarizing Soros-backed DAs. She served as the circuit attorney for St. Louis since 2017. She repeatedly used her office to prosecute conservatives while allowing criminals to walk free. Gardner launched bogus criminal investigation against Missouri's Republican governor. Remember that, folks? No, you don't?
Right.
Wasn't on the news? Huh. John knows. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Big news locally. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And remember the McCluskeys, right?
McCluskeys, yeah. We have mutual acquaintances. My parents almost bought the McCluskey home back in 1959. It's pretty run down. And I've met Mark yet, but that'll happen soon.
Man, and she was caught lying also about police officers who pulled her over for driving without headlights at night. She's admitted to campaign finance violations. I mean, how much more do we need? She's badly mishandled murder cases. And the year after she was elected, John, St. Louis became the murder capital of the nation. But that didn't stop Soros from contributing some $116,000 to aid in her reelection. So we know where her bread's buttered on, or what side it's buttered on. And
Well, like I say, Missouri Attorney General is doing the right thing for the right reasons, and is started the whole legal process to remove her for cause, which will take another probably 2-3 months. So it moves slowly.
Because this is something I've been following. Do you think this will indeed happen? Given the severity of her actions, the attorney.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah. She's gone. She's toast. The turnover of lawyers working in her office has been phenomenal. Typically, lawyers that work for a prosecuting attorney stick around for decades. It becomes a career for them, the ones I've known. But the tremendous turnover there. The young men and women she's hired to be prosecuting attorneys just simply can't take it, and they leave. That's very telling in and of itself, don't you think, Doug?
Oh man, yeah. you can always tell about the office by the staff's happiness, or the turnover rate and such, which is why we've got such a turnover rate here. I'm kidding, but you get the idea, you know. So okay, I'm gonna be watching that, and we're both of us are gonna be watching that. To see what happens with Kim.
Well, as you and I know, our judicial system moves forward in 30-day blocks of time. And yeah. It'll move forward, and she'll be gone. And the governor will appoint a prosecuting attorney, district attorney, to fill in until the next election, however long that is.
Now, will that allow... will the fill-in be a... if you know this, kind of a clone of Gardner or not?
Oh, no. Our governor was appointed himself. Mm-hmm. He's a former sheriff in one of our counties here in Missouri. He's had a steep learning curve taking over as governor, but he's generally conservative. He's surrounded by conservative advisors, and almost without a doubt, the new district attorney in St. Louis will be a conservative.
Okay. All right, good. Yeah, I wasn't sure how that worked. Thank you for that clarification, which is why he gets paid the big bucks. Just kidding. Of course, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Make sure you bookmark that website. If you go to HagmanPI.com, it'll be in the program notes for today. We've got about a minute left. Closing thoughts, my brother.
Well, I want to encourage everybody to pray without ceasing. Ultimately, it's a spiritual war. We must never forget that. Pray without ceasing, and pray for wisdom and guidance from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Boy, We need it now more than ever. And if you're not on your knees, you're not doing it right, I believe, in praying to our Lord and Savior, because there's no political solution to the spiritual problems in which we find ourselves. John Moore, thank you so much. You're a gracious
man. Thank you, Doug. Good to talk to you, as always.
All right, my friend. God bless you. We'll talk soon. That was John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Folks, don't forget, April 14 and 15, WisconsinChristianNews.com. Check it out. And you're really going to want to go to that conference. I'm telling you, I've been to them. And I don't know if I can make it this time, but I'll tell you what. Try to make it. It's WisconsinChristianNews.com, April 14 and 15th, the Great Pushback. Have a good day.